Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're in Mark chapter 2. And I use the New King James Version. I'd like to introduce this chapter by saying that there is something that God wants to do on the earth today. He said it today already prophetically. But it's not the same way or the way we think he's going to do it. There's a difference. There's a shift. And when Jesus came upon the earth and walked the earth physically, almost everything he did came against the Jewish tradition. Not everything, but a lot. There's a word that's very popular in these days in the business community and in health and science, and it's paradigm. Paradigm is a standard. Webster's Dictionary said paradigm is a standard, a perspective, a set of ideas. Paradigm is a way of looking at something. The word paradigm comes a lot in the academic, scientific, and business worlds. A new paradigm in business could mean a new way of reaching customers and making money. You know, in the world, everything is about money. Money is just provision. So in the kingdom of God, it's about provision too. In fact, the prophetic word that Jessica gave is that the tree that's just planted by the water and not drinking of the water isn't getting the resources it needs. And at some point, we come to the place and say, that's it. I've had enough of religion. I need you, Jesus. Well, this short chapter says something about that. And the first healing here, it talks about the healing of the paralytic. But more than the healing, it talks about the forgiveness of sins. That was a new paradigm. That was a new shift. None of the rabbis did that. They weren't allowed to. In fact, you'll see here a lot of things that Jesus does. He was not allowed to do. He was free in the Spirit to do what the Father wants him to do, as you are. You know, Friday night, Mary Plantier came up and gave a testimony how she saw a bike, two guys side of the road, and she gets out thinking maybe somebody's injured or something. That wasn't the case. But here she is walking toward them, and she thinks, gee, who is this? They're thinking this, that, who is this old lady coming to us? And I thought, when she said that, I thought, oh, this is Mary Plantier. This is Mary, our Mary, full of the Holy Spirit. So you better part the waters for her, baby. And so she gave him the word of the Lord. It could change their lives forever. But if she was, you know, a Levitical priest on the way and seeing the Good Samaritan, she would have just drove by. But something of the Holy Spirit in her says, no, stop. Break the rule. Break the rules. Single person, how many rules is she breaking? Police would say, that's not a wise thing to do. By herself. Yeah, by herself, yeah. So here's, this is a good healing to say, but something about paradigm shift. Paradigm is like a pattern of way we do things, a concept. A construct of things in a way we feel about ourselves, the way we feel about God, and the way we think God's going to do things. Well, get ready, because he's going to do things a lot differently. Verse 1. And, again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. I don't know what house that was, whatever house he was in before. And immediately many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. So that would be some home group to go to. You know, in China, that's a testimony that's repeated over and over again. People have home groups, house churches, and there isn't room enough for them in a house. They meet out in the streets next to the house. And they open the windows so they can hear them preach. Wow. And he preached the word to them. So the Lord, first of all, gives them truth. Then they came to him, bringing paralytic who was carried by four men. Must have been a big guy. I don't know. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, that is the Lord. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. So this is a good one. So all these churches these days have the paradigm of having a steeple. We never got a steeple, right, Paul? But what if we put a hole in the roof? I have never seen a church with a hole in the roof. Never. But what if we did that? People would say, what paradigm are they listening to? Well, the same one that these guys are listening to. I've often thought about all those who are in construction. You say, you want to take apart somebody's house? Okay, there's a couple of rules against that. Right? I can see the police car coming to rescue the homeowner. Saying, what do you guys think you're doing? Well, so when they had broken through, they let down the bed where the paralytic was lying. Verse 5, and Jesus saw their faith. He didn't see that they were breaking rules. But when he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, don't get up and walk yet, kid. Your sins are forgiven you. That's the first thing. Now, he had a plan, but even beyond the plan, Jesus was about breaking rules. His paradigm was break the rules. I can remember when President Reagan was elected president. He says, where we're going, there are no roads. He's going to break some rules. Well, he did. Verse 6. You know, Jesus can hear the hearts of people that aren't saying anything. So can you. I know that's a prophetic sense in many of you. As people came up for prayer during the Toronto blessing, it was like we could hear what's in their hearts because we were in tune to the Holy Spirit. It was not a hard task. And Jesus did this many times. Well, in their hearts, it says, and some of the scribes are sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? There was a disdain, discomfort. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, they already answered their question. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned this within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Has he ever said that to you? Am I the only one? I reason things in my heart. He says, what are you doing? You need to change. You need to break the paradigm. Which is easier, Jesus says, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? The answer to that question is neither one. But that you may know, the reason he's doing this, that you may know the Son of Man has the power on this planet, this earth, to forgive sins. He did something. He said to the paralytic, now this hasn't been done before either. I say to you, arise, take your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he rose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You think they were surprised? Wow. God can answer prayers in ways we have no idea what he's going to do next. And maybe that's where we should be, in our Holy Spirit within us. We stir it up so we can expect God to do anything, and he will do something more than what we expect. Is that true? I want it to happen. I would say I'd vote for a hole right there. We could slide it down, right? Have a little ladder coming up the roof just so they could have an easier time of it. That would probably make national news. Right? This church in Lake Katrine, you wouldn't believe it. They put a hole in their roof. First one ever. It's a sign of faith. Well, probably won't happen, but could. You never know. Verse 13. He goes on to the next crazy thing. Because this is the story of Matthew, him calling Matthew. Matthew, also called Levi, was a tax collector, and everybody there hated tax collectors. They weren't supposed to hang out with them. That'd be breaking the rules. Because he was in allegiance with the then pagan government, the government of Rome, collecting taxes. So that would be another thing the Jews would have a hard time with and would not allow, not accept. Verse 13, he went out again by the sea. All the multitude came to him. It's like he can't get rid of these people. They just love him. He taught them. Notice what he does first. Teaches them. He gives them the word of God. The word of God is so powerful. It doesn't return void. Is that right? So when you speak it, you don't have to worry about whether it's going to have its effect. It will. So when Mary talked to those two in a bike, she has no problems believing that God's going to do a miracle. Well, as he passed, he saw Levi, that is Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. So he's just doing his job. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he rose and followed him. Yeah. Oh, man. I love the series we're watching, right? It's like when Matthew sees the Lord look at him and said, "Come on, follow me." Me? Because me, the chosen, was such an anointed method of preaching the gospel. Because he's looking right at these scriptures that John Mark had written. I remember John Mark. He was the Greek translator for Barnabas and Paul. Remember? Okay. Now it happened that he was dining in Matthew's house, that many tax gatherers, so Matthew had some friends he invited, I guess, and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. Now, if I did that in my house, knowing that I've just invited a whole mess of street people in, sinners, and I invited some of the tax gatherers, those who were, ripping off people, I don't know who they would be in today's culture. Maybe they work for Medicare. I don't know. But it seems like everybody wants to get a piece of the action, right? And I don't know any time that I don't look and say, "Is that true? What's going on here? How come that costs so much money?" The grocery stores are not exempt, right? The gas stations are not exempt. Our government is not exempt. At any rate, there were a lot of people eating with him. They said to his disciples, they didn't dare talk to him. I think that's funny. "Oh, Peter, come here, I want to talk to you a bit." They didn't want to talk to him directly. Because, the Jews didn't really believe that they could talk to God directly. That was their paradigm. So, no, that wouldn't be appropriate for them. It would be against the law, the Jewish law. You don't talk to God. And they said to him, said his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" I mean, seriously. If he's trying to promote a ministry, he's breaking the rules. Now, a lot of ministries that I've seen that come out of the Carolinas and other Bible Belt things, they go out of their way so that you see that they're, upright, and everybody's dressed smartly. And well, I don't think everybody was dressed well at this dinner table. Some were and some were not. Some could be gals from the street, and likely were. Well, Jesus heard it. Nothing escapes the Lord. Don't think you can get away with that, guys. And he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I do not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So That was also a huge paradigm shift. We always see the Pharisees and the scribes thought that God belonged to them and them only. For him to go out from that place would be against their law. It's not right. It's a paradigm shift. It's a whole new way of thinking. I think that's what God was saying to us prophetically this morning. There's a whole new way of thinking that we need to get a hold of. I mean, how can you say to dry bones, come alive, a dead heart, come alive, unless you're thinking a little differently? Oh, but we still have our traditions. We still have our traditions of how we pray. We still have our traditions of what we wear to church and not wear to church. We still have our traditions, and in the denominational churches, even more. I can remember as an acolyte in the Episcopal Church, at certain holy days, whatever they are, and I've forgotten most of them, we had to wear certain garments. So as soon as Lent came upon us, everybody had to wear green, and they had a green robe, and the acolytes had to wear green whatever. And we had traditions and rules that should not be broken. So when the father went over to the left side and started to prepare communion, I had to go over to the right side. And, oh, you can't cross the aisle without genuflecting and making the sign of the cross. Rule. I couldn't break that rule. I'd hear about it. And I came over, and then when he motioned for me slightly, only slightly, to come up, I would help him hold the glass cruets, one with water, one with wine. The whole thing is just taking communion. But no, there was a whole tradition, a whole paradigm about it. Well, God has broken those paradigms long since then. But the church, the denominational churches, and specifically the Episcopal Church, still does that. I personally think that's sad. I had one father who was, I kind of liked him, Father Webster. So he used to mentor me. And in fact, he led me through my first communion. So, but when he would speak, he would sound like a regular person. But when he was in his priestly voice, he would talk me up here in his nose. I don't know why he did this. It was kind of really funny. He said, Lord, be with us. And you all had to say, with your spirit, whatever. You had to have comeback. So it was like, I think the Holy Spirit finds that nauseating. Because tradition is not his style. The Holy Ghost doesn't like to be put into a box. He doesn't like it. That's the way he did it last year. I felt the anointing. Well, not this year. Maybe it'll be a little different. Maybe the kids will do it this year. Or maybe just the old guys. Whatever God wants to do. So we're stuck in this paradigm too. We all have say there's no children among us. Well, there's one today, but it's like, so that's not right. We should have more younger people so we can see growth and all that kind of stuff. But what tradition does that come from? The church growth tradition. It may not be the Holy Spirit. Maybe he wants to have a lot more gray hair. Maybe a lot more gray hair. We don't know. He's not afraid of gray hair. Is that right? It's a good thing. I said to Cheryl the other day, I said, what do you think? Should I dye my hair blonde or streak it or something? You know, there's some scriptures about how wonderful it is to have gray hair. You can find them all over the Old Testament. It's a flag to fly of wisdom that God has given you for the years you've spent on this earth. It's a wonderful thing. I don't know too many people who would agree with that in today's paradigm. But it is the paradigm of the Holy Spirit. He created you who you are. Now live with it. Okay. Okay, here's the next one. Verse 18. He's breaking all the rules. Verse 18. The disciples of John, that's John the Baptist, the Pharisees, other Pharisees were fasting. And they came and said to him, so these are like-minded people. Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast? But oh, your disciples do not fast. Now, they must have been watching them for a while, because how would they not know? How would they know that? And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast when the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." I think that's an interesting scripture, that there's a time and a place for all kinds of traditions, even fasting. And in today's church, we often call a time of fasting and prayer for things that are before us. Not as often as some other churches, but we do that. But we don't do it just because we have to. We do it because we're led by the Holy Spirit to do it. Is that right? Now, I've been watching this show called The Great Churches of the World. And this guy talks way too fast, number one. And he's definitely into intricate, you know, carvings of wood, marble, and all this kind of stuff in the churches that a lot of them I've visited in Europe and in England. I haven't been to Italy yet, but I can imagine what they look like. And he started to do the American churches. Well, he showed some, you know, typical New England style church, white, clapboard with a steeple. This is a quintessential paradigm of the American church. Then he showed in Pawling, New York, the meeting house of Quakers. Have you ever been to there? Anybody ever been there? Well, it's there. You can go and visit it. But inside there, the pews are just boards. And the ceiling, instead of having these flying buttresses like in Europe, these great cathedrals, were just rafters. And they had a balcony, but there was, you could shut it off if you didn't want to use it or whatever. But there was no end. There was no seat of honor for the archbishop or anybody else. There was just everybody together. And he pointed out, he said, well, this was a great church because it actually reflected their faith. They did not believe in the hierarchy of the church. They did not believe that ornate things necessarily represented the holiness of God. So, maybe we shouldn't put the hole in the roof after all. Because we don't want to get people the idea that's our religion, our faith. That might be someday, but we're not going to like camp by what God did yesterday. We're going to ask the Lord for his leading, his direction. Now, I'm going to skip the next two verses, and I'm going to go on to verse 23, because I want to come back to verse 21 and 22 for a summary. But in verse 23, he begins to talk about another tradition of the church, the tradition of the Jewish faith, the Sabbath, which is not just a day. The Sabbath rest of God is a concept and a paradigm that the Levitical priests understood well, that we don't go crazy in the world that God has given us. We need the Sabbath rest of God. And that's why they actually celebrated the Sabbath on Saturday, and still do, so that they would realize that work isn't all what God wants for you. He wants something of your heart and soul. And it says in verse 23, now what happened when he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and this is how bad it can get, because today we would say, what? What does this mean? And as they went, the disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. That means that they took the grain heads and started to eat them. And the Pharisees said, look, what they are doing, it's not lawful on the Sabbath because they're working. And we would say, that's not work. They don't have, you know, a rake and a baler or anything. Are you kidding? But you see, any kind of, the rules have become so intricate, so debilitating, so oppressive, you couldn't even pick a grain off of a piece of grass. Really? It's not lawful on the Sabbath. So there are a lot of rules that Jesus intended and wanted to break. This was another one. See how John Mark does this? He said, he doesn't just stay in one place. He goes, one, two, three. We're going to break. Jesus is about breaking up the rule book. He's about tearing up the old paradigm and putting out a new one. Jesus just confronts them with the Old Testament and says to them, have you never read that David did when he was in need and hungry and those with him, how they went into the house of God in those days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread? Oh, my goodness. That was really heretical, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest. And also, he gave some to those who were with him. Uh-huh. And he said to them, that is, Jesus said to them, here's the new paradigm. The Sabbath, it's not just a rule to be obeyed, was made for man. Was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. As we were not made just to obey rules, but the rules were there to show us something which they forgot all about. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, is he not the Lord of everything? Yeah, he sure is. He's a great God. So, in summary, verse 21. This is really kind of the key to the whole chapter. I would have put this at the end, so I did. Verse 21 and 22. And doesn't make sense to us in our culture because we don't do this. We don't. None of us are winemakers, right? None of us, well, some of us maybe do some sewing now and then. Not too many have touched a sewing machine lately. It says, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth to an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. So that's talking about when in the old days, before they had a lot of polyester in your clothes, the old new cloth would shrink. In fact, I can remember reading directions about my t-shirts and underwear. Put them in the laundry first before you put them on because they're going to shrink. So if you put something that's going to do that on an old fabric, it's going to pull away. It's going to tear. And that's what did happen. So what's he talking about? Well, to make it clear, he's talking about he's putting old and new together. Old paradigm, new paradigm. Oh, verse 22. No one puts a new wineskin onto old wineskins. Now, the wine we know, as most of us know from the parable, is a type of the Holy Spirit. No one puts the new wine, but if you did that, the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled. The wineskins are ruined, never mind the Holy Spirit running out all over the place. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, new wineskins. In other words, he wants in you a new paradigm, a new nature. Why else did he say in John 3 to Nicodemus, he said, unless you are born again, you don't even know how to get there. Unless you have a whole new creation about you, a new paradigm, a new pattern, breaking the rules, you're not going to even understand what I'm saying. And so today, it's more true than ever, even in our midst. I know I'm talking to the choir. Most of you have heard these things over and over and over again. But because the Lord is speaking to us prophetically about a new freedom, that means he wants to break some of the things that we've been thinking of doing all along. We'll just keep doing this. Maybe God wants you to break out. We're going to have another prophetic conference in September, right? Is that right? October now. Okay, yeah, sorry. But the last time we had one here, you know, Jessica was part of that. And, you know, oftentimes I hear quoted that something happened within her that a new paradigm broke out. She's able to prophesy with a new confidence and know that it's God. She's not the only one. I couldn't mention others. That God has broken the old pattern, the old way of doing things in your life. Maybe you've never shared up here a testimony and God's been pounding in your heart saying, come on, what you have is something the body needs to hear. Well, it's not just for home group. Home group's a wonderful place to have that happen, but Friday night's even better and sometimes Sunday. There's a paradigm maybe needs to be broken. Just saying. I can tell you from my own experience, recent months, last year, God's doing many things differently. I can see him stirring up the waters for miracles to happen in your midst. Somebody asked the other day, why am I sick, why am I still in pain, whatever you're going through, why is this circumstances happening to me? It isn't just to transform you. It is to stir up the waters that the Holy Spirit can be poured out freely, freedom in you. Think about what Jesus was doing. He never had to go back to the Old Testament law and say, wait a minute, is this what God wants me to do today? Is this what the Father wants me to do today? What did Jesus do? He went to the garden. What are you doing today? Oh, that breaks all my rules. Sorry, but I'm not like that. I'm not strong. I'm not used to public speaking. I can keep going. There are all kinds of things we put in the way for what God wants us to do. Jesus, when he got up that morning in Mark chapter 2, maybe he didn't have a clue that the roof was coming down. But he wasn't surprised by it. And I don't know, the paralytic, quadriplegic, he just got up and walked away. What was he thinking? Well, that was different. Wow. What about Matthew? That just doesn't happen. You don't just walk by a tax booth and say, Matthew, come on, let's go. Just doesn't happen. But maybe that's what God has in your heart. You know, I think at the crisis pregnancy center, that's going to happen more and more. People come in, don't even have a clue where Jesus is, and they're going to say, follow him. Here he is. I have a place for you. And that's kind of the testimony you were sharing, right, Robin? Yeah. So it is happening, even in our midst. This isn't stuff I'm making up. It isn't something John Mark just wants to throw out there. I hope it happens. It is happening. So we're going to have times together with sinners and tax gatherers. Are you ready for that one? I don't know. To me, that's the hardest one. It's really people that I don't like and don't trust. You want me to invite them into my house? That's a hard one for me to do. It is. Wait till I get the cameras up. And I'm sure Tina's there for other reasons. But God is faithful to us when we're not faithful. To be faithful to God does not mean we follow the rules. To be faithful to God means we can break the rules. Now, I've said this before, but you know, when I was supervising the lab, I was a lab manager for many years, and I had 22 career women medical technologists working for me, all of them 4-year degrees or more, all of them very good at what they do, and all of them sensitive to the patients and what the patient was going through. And they would be in call at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I always say to them this, because medical technologists always get the brunt of the complaints from the doctors. Not the nurses so much, because the nurses they have to work with every day. The medical technologists are working in another department. So many times they get the brunt of criticism. And we had a rule for everything. Their government has rules, and it was a government service, a VA hospital, and they have a lot of rules, believe me. Yeah, and, right? So, but also I had rules. And I would say to them this, listen, girls, you're professionals. You know what you're doing. It's you who are standing there with the patient and the doctor, and you know what's best in that circumstances. And if you think one of the rules isn't going to work, throw it away. I'll stand by you. Because rules, by their very nature, cannot work 100% of the time. There are going to be circumstances that it's not going to work at all. In fact, be a complete and utter failure. And I've never known any of my technologists to abuse that privilege. Never. Once you give people that right and that responsibility, they take it seriously. So God is saying to us today, take this seriously. I want you to break the rules, the paradigms that you've been struggling with, the boxes you've been put in, and I'm going to stand by you. And you're not going to abuse it. I know you won't. Because he's your God. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the wonderful Holy Spirit you've given to us to free us from the rules and the drudgery, of life. There's going trudging through life. But rather, we can be happy, full of joy. Isn't that the gift of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit? Love, peace, and, joy, which belongs to us. Lord, I pray that that joy would be stirred up, and that joy would say, hey, you haven't done anything joyful today. I want you to do it. So, Father, I pray that you would do that. You would put a smile on our face as we see the joy of the Lord, or maybe someone who has never met you before. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.